For the uninitiated, bluegrass is a kind of acoustic music. It's built around banjos, mandolins, guitars, and fiddles, and bluegrass is famous for its lightning-fast picking. While there are now thousands of bluegrass musicians in all parts of the world, not so many years ago, there was only one bluegrass band in the world, Bill Monroe and his Bluegrass Boys.
Oh, the people would come from far away, the dance all night till the break of day. When the caller hollered, do-si-do, you knew Uncle Pim was ready to go. Late in the evening, about sundown, high on the hill of the town, Uncle Pim played the fiddle on high with rain. You could hear it talk, you could hear it sing.
Bill Monroe came to be known as the father of bluegrass music because he invented both the name and the sound back in the 1940s. His group, Bill Monroe and the Bluegrass Boys, featured Bill on his mandolin, Lester Flatt on guitar, Howard Watts on bass, and Earl Scruggs on banjo. Bluegrass has now been a part of American music for more than 50 years, and while bluegrass fans are fiercely dedicated, learning as much as they can about their favorite musicians, the instruments they play, and the songs that they've written, most Americans are probably only familiar with the style through a handful of songs that have become popular outside of the bluegrass mainstream. Most of those tunes were associated with television shows like the Beverly Hillbillies or movies such as Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, Deliverance, and Bonnie and Clyde, which featured Lester Flatt and Earl Scruggs performing the classic Foggy Mountain Breakdown. Lester Flatt and Earl Scruggs met while performing in Bill Monroe's bluegrass band. In 1948, they decided to form their own group, the Foggy Mountain Boys, recording the Foggy Mountain Breakdown a couple of years later. That breakdown did wonders for banjo sales when it appeared in the 1968 movie Bonnie and Clyde. It also helped to introduce bluegrass to a whole new audience. Today, the popularity of bluegrass has spread far beyond the United States, with fans and musicians popping up in Europe, South America, and beyond. A few international pickers have even settled in the United States, and they've proven that they can play bluegrass just as well as the homegrown talent. One such band is the Green Cards, made up of Australians Kim Warner and Carol Young, and UK native Eamon McLaughlin.
Well, by the time I got to work on Monday, word from top had just come down. We're locking all the doors tomorrow morning. We'll see who on the bones inside of town. All my neighbors know the feeling. We all share a little common ground. There's a woman's rap to play. Our story's all the same. Here living on the lonesome side of town.
Considering many Americans don't know the music of Flatt and Scruggs, how did you all come across it living where you did? I mean, I can't imagine that American bluegrass was always at the top of the charts in the UK or in Australia or anywhere in the United States.
There was this sort of underground scene in Australia.
Like there is anywhere, I guess. I mean, yeah. we spoke about this the other day. We're talking, it's like you're going to meet people from the Czech Republic or Italy, and they're all playing bluegrass music, and same sort of thing. There's just pockets of people. And for me, it was through my dad. I was one of the few people in Australia that had a father that actually played banjo. Mm-hmm. And like Eamon's family was musical too, so he got into it in that sort of way over there.
Yeah, my dad had a country band in England mm-hmm. for many years, and country music is very popular with the Irish people.
Yes.
So, you know, he would always have these old LPs of Charlie Pride and Buck Owens and Jim Reeves and that kind of stuff. So I just, you know, it was always on Sunday dinner. It was always country mm-hmm. music. And, you know, as Carol said, it was sort of this underground scene where there'd be like one or two radio shows per week mm-hmm. that you would listen to religiously. And that would be, you know, you'd write all the names down who, you know, and go try and find out who these people were. So it's just kind of like a cult.
20 years ago, arts consultant Bob Wolf decided that it was time for bluegrass to outgrow its cult status and proposed that May be designated Worldwide Bluegrass Music Month. He had a theory that if more people were introduced to the music that he loved, the audience would grow. And that seems to have worked, as sales of CDs and concert tickets show that bluegrass is more popular than ever these days. If you're new to bluegrass and you'd like to learn more about the music but you don't know where to start, a compilation album may be the way to go. Several labels have released new bluegrass collections this year, and they're a very good way to learn more about the music. Rebel Records' latest is called Best Love Bluegrass, 20 All-Time Favorites, and artists on the collection include first-generation performers like Mack Wiseman and the Stanley Brothers, along with the seldom seen The Country Gentleman, Tony Rice, and J.D. Crowe, who contributes an instrumental called Train 45. If you would like to find out where to find bluegrass music near you, contact the International Bluegrass Music Association online at ibma.org. That is ibma.org. And don't forget to tell them that you heard about Worldwide Bluegrass Music Month on VOA. I'm Catherine Cole.